KFMB.
San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night. And let's see, we are all, you can get the app for AM 760, and you can hear us that way. You can get us on AM760.com. That way. And let's see, time to introduce the main man of the hour. He is a CPA extraordinaire. He is a philanthropist. He is a marathon runner, very accomplished. And he is also a best-selling author and a family office advisor to several high net worth families. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm marvelous, Joe. I'm running a half marathon tomorrow morning.
Really?
So I have to hustle out of here and get some sleep.
Wonderful. I've got about five, six things on my mind, and I couldn't get through the intro as smoothly as usual. But today was the memorial for the late, great Jerry Coleman, who spent many years at this station. And I wasn't able to get down there. Were you?
I wasn't able to get down there, but I heard it went great.
Yeah, it was really spectacular. And, of course, they're setting up for Davis Cup tennis down there as well. So that was really something. And we did bump into Dick Emberger the other day, but he was...
I think he was getting ready for the whatever he had to present.
I think, yeah, he was in a... His mind was on the event, I think. So, yeah. But, hey, the water seems to be a little bit of an issue here, folks. So
what water?
Did you see the they showed an aerial of the Sierra Nevada mountains, the snow cover last year at this time versus now, and it's pretty brown these days. It's pretty striking. They said this could be the driest January, maybe probably the driest year on since they started keeping records in 150 years. So
I live by the beach. We don't even have any moisture. You know, usually when you live by the beach, you go out in the morning on your deck or whatever, and it's soaking wet. I mean, there's not a drop of moisture right on the beach.
Yeah.
Well, really strange.
Well, I'm keeping a big pot of water on low on the stove just to get some humidity in the place because it's dry out there. But, hey, it's Oscar time and, award season time with regard to film. And I know we talked about it a little bit at lunch the other day, but this Wolf of Wall Street, my gosh, you saw it, right, Richard?
Yeah, but it's... Well, it's not for kids.
No, it's not, unless they're very mature, precocious kids or whatever. But folks, it's Leo DiCaprio as you've never seen him. It's a dark comedy based on a true character and a true story. But, oh, my gosh, it's debauchery on steroids. It's Wall Street run amok. It's what can I say? The guy did go to jail. He did do 22. It's based on the life of Jordan Belfort. So, I mean... He's a real living, breathing person. He's out on the stump again, apparently doing sales seminars and whatever. And, there's stuff online. He's very good. He's very, very good. So, but in any case, we're not here about self-serving.
We're going to talk about something opposite.
Yes, we are. And tonight...
Totally opposite.
Yes. Well, we have an encore performance by our guest tonight, right, Richard?
Art Barter from Servant Leadership Institute is with us.
Right.
And we're about, let's see, today's January the 19th. So we're just over 2 weeks away from their annual winter conference, which, of course, we've been promoting on this show. It's February 4th and 5th.
At the Omni Hotel.
At the Omni Hotel down in the Gaslamp.
Near Petco Park.
Right. Well, actually, the Omni's attached to Petco Park.
That's right. You take the bridge.
By a walkway.
That's right.
That bridge over by the lap pool on the top of the stadium that nobody knows exists.
Yes. And I see by our website, iymoney.com, that some of the speakers are Stephen Covey, Olivia McEvor, Dick Enberg, Ken Blanchard's a biggie, Cheryl Batchelor.
Bill Walton just announced.
Yes.
Anyway, Art, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here again. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure.
Are you guys running around like chickens with no heads because you got so much organization to do to get ready for this?
We're higher than a kite right now. It's okay. Scraping us off the ceiling. We're just thrilled about what's coming up and excited about the guests we have. And just we can't wait to get going this year.
Yep. But let's back up. Let's tell everybody what Servant Leadership Institute is. And I know it's a great organization. And... I'm going to be there too, by the way, and I promise to behave myself in the crowd.
All right, you better. We're going to keep an eye out on you.
Although if we go down to the field on Petco, I may slide headfirst into second base.
Servant Leadership Institute is an organization that's out teaching a different way of leadership and serving and encouraging leaders to serve first and lead second. And our hope is that as we teach those leaders how servant leadership works and they implement it in their organizations, that we see a transformation in the organizations around us, and we see the confidence in leadership in this country increase dramatically through that method of leadership. So now we're out teaching guys how to serve first and then lead second.
Yeah. Now you founded this in 2009, which isn't that long ago, and so how small is it when it started, and how many people come to your events now? It sounds like it's grown enormously, huh?
We did. We started hoping to have 100 at our first conference 4 years ago. This is our fourth conference, and we're probably going to be between 250 and 300 people at the conference. We're 2014 will see us expand. We'll be expanding into LA, and we'll have our first conference on the East Coast as well. And we're trying to keep the conferences in that 200 to 300 size, so people have a chance to interact with the speakers, have a chance to interact with us, and it's more of a learning experience than just come and let somebody lecture to you and then turn around and leave, right?
So who's your typical attendee of this? Is it a CEO, a CFO? Is it anybody in upper management?
It can be anyone from the C-suite all the way down to the entering supervisor who's just getting into leadership, anyone who wants to become a leader. We do scholarships with local colleges here, so we're going to have some kids come in from Cal State San Marcos and some other universities come in. I think we've got five or six universities attending this year, sending representatives. And so it's a myriad of levels of management. And what's neat is we try and create an environment where those folks get together and talk and interact and help each other. And my management team will be there from Datron, and we bring them in so that folks can have a chance to talk to people who have actually implemented servant leadership. Not just we just don't teach it. We're known as the implementers of servant leadership, and that's what makes us different from everyone else that's out there.
But can you back up? What does servant leadership compare and contrast to in terms of more traditional, what we might consider more traditional forms of leadership?
Sure. The best way to describe it is if you think of the organization chart within an organization that has a CEO at the top, the C-level executives at the top. If you take that organization structure and turn it upside down,
okay,
and you put the CEO at the bottom, now his job is to serve everyone who's above him in the organization. So my job as CEO is to help everyone succeed in the organization. And the C-suite now, folks, are down at the bottom. Their job is to help everybody succeed in the organization. And so it turns it around and says, people who come to work, they're not there to serve the senior management team and the CEO. It's actually the other way around. I'm coming as CEO. I'm here to serve them and help them succeed.
And you, well, tell us the story about Datron, because I think that gives a really, really great live example of how you came to sort of flip this organization chart over.
Sure. We started back in I bought the company in 2004 from Titan.
And it does what again?
Military communications for foreign governments.
Right.
And we bought the company. It was doing $10 million, and it was losing money. And at that time, we decided to bring in servant leadership. It took us a couple of years to get it off the dime and get it really started in the management team. But we built that company up to right around $200 million. It took us about 6 years, 7 years to do that. Very profitable. Every year, we generated profits that we had the company. So even the first year, we turned it around. We generated profits. We don't believe in debt. We did all that growth was through internal growth and not through debt. We didn't acquire other companies to grow. Mm-hmm. And we did it with the same management team. And that was a surprising thing to everybody around us, because everybody told us you had to, you get to $50 million, you got to take out the old management team, bring in new ones. Mm-hmm. And I've got people today that are still with us that were there when I bought the company back in 2004. And you know what? I didn't have to change those folks, because all we're doing is building more radios. That's all we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
But the decision was to do this. I mean, was that like an epiphany, or was it because of a series of events where maybe more traditional models weren't getting you where you wanted to go?
Yeah, I under Titan, the power model was in play there. We spent more time talking about explaining away.
So Titan was the predecessor company?
Yeah, predecessor company, gotcha, right, okay. Right, that owned Datron. And they had some good things. I don't want to take away from that management team. There were some good guys there. But we spent more time trying to explain our results so we could get more time to turn the organizations around than we did spend in turning the organizations around. And that's just the way it is in public companies.
But let me ask you, Art, the servant leadership culture and philosophy, where did you derive that from? Had you used it at another entity before you brought it to Datron, or is it something that it happened right at the same time?
No, I was my good friend Ken Blanchard introduced me to servant leadership back in 2003 through an event that I attended. And then before we bought Datron from Titan, I was involved in an investigation with the Department of Justice for possible violation of Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And I was accused of bribing foreign officials to get business. And I was what they called a subject in a criminal investigation with the Department of Justice in 2003. And during that time frame, we had the DOJ come in and they looked at every transaction we did for 5 years. And at the end of that evaluation, the audit manager came and told me, you know, we didn't find anything. And we said, we knew you wouldn't. But she said, I also want you to know this is not about FCPA. I said, what's it about? And she says, well, the acquiring company sees a weakness in your company's core, and they want a better price for the deal.
Oh, wow.
All right. So they were going after a better price for the deal. Okay. They want to save some money. Okay. But they were willing to throw away 70 families' lives to get there. And in my personal experience through the whole thing, I found out that I was a subject in this investigation when I received a call on a Friday evening from an attorney I never knew. And she introduced herself and she says, you Art Barter? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, well, you're a subject. And I said, well, you sure you have the right Art Barter? And she says, well, are you this works for Titan? Yep. And I said, well, this is interesting. And but she was a person I didn't know. She started the conversation and said, your company wanted me to advise you of this investigation. No one in my company that I reported to that paid me could pick up a phone and call me and tell me that this was going on.
Common courtesy, isn't that common, Art?
And those two events convinced me that if I ever got a chance to run a company, we were going to run it different. And Ken Blanchard started it. He's helped us with servant leadership at our organization, along with John Maxwell and a slew of other folks, but we didn't want to put our people through that again, ever again.
So that was an experience at a company prior to Datron. Is that what you're talking
about? No, that was with Datron.
That was with Datron.
That was the Datron. Yep, when we were part of Titan.
Huh. Interesting. Yep. Well, that's and then of course the sales went through the roof, and so it was after you instituted the service leadership.
We put servant leadership in place.
How many years were you operating Datron before you really got that, shall we say, somewhat implemented, even though I know it continues to be a process?
We bought the company in November of 2004.
Okay.
We started talking about servant leadership in 2005.
Okay.
And really started the training program in 2006 with the management team.
So within the second year. Okay.
Excellent.
So we started 2006. What we found out when we did some evaluation on our program that we implemented, the training we implemented, is that it takes 5 years for any leadership training to really take hold in a company. 5 years.
Because it's culture.
Because it's culture, and you're changing the culture. We were taking it, had a difficult task because we were changing the culture of a 30-year-old company, not just a startup.
And how many employees were total there?
When we bought the company, we had about 75 employees, and we've topped out probably around 450.
Wow. That's outstanding. Anyway, we've got to take a break right now, though, Art. So hold that thought. We'll come right back with more of Intrum in Your Life right after this. Hang on. All right, I'm back. We're back with Art Barter, CEO of Service Leadership Institute. Leadership Institute.
Joe, you're having a rough night, man.
I am. I'm getting ready for football tomorrow. My mind's on the games or whatever. But anyway, where did we leave off? I guess they went from 70. This is amazing. 75 employees to 400 right through the recession and everything else and going strong, right?
Going strong. We've retrenched a little bit. And what's interesting in our story is, you know, our story so far we tell has always been on the way up. Mm-hmm. Now we've got to put a story, get it caught up to where what do you do with servant leadership when times are tough? Because things aren't always rosy all the time.
The sequestration and so on affected your company, I would
say? Oh, yeah. Because most of our stuff is financed by the U.S. government. So we had times where last year our contracts were delayed 5-6 months. Some went away. We had some reductions in force. But, you know, what's interesting is we challenge ourselves to, are we really servant leaders when we have to have a reduction in force? And one of the questions we ask ourselves is, you know, one day you trust your employees, and the next day you're going to go through a layoff. So all of a sudden you launch into, I have to protect my computer. I have to escort them out of the building. Mm-hmm. And you go, why did the trust change? And we said, you know what? It doesn't. And so we started something different. When we do a layoff, we tell folks in the morning, and then we give them all day to go out and talk to people, finish their work. They can do whatever they want to all day long. They stay till the end of the shift. They work through things. And it helps people go through saying goodbye to folks or taking care of business. And the people that stay feel just as good about it as the people that left, because now everybody understands that they were treated fairly. You know, they get to hear the stories about how they were treated fairly. And so you change the way you do business in servant leadership when times are tough.
It's a little bit
you treat people differently.
Yeah, but the challenge today is, like, versus maybe 20 years ago is, you know, on computers now, you've got a lot of company information and company property. And so it's it's a real balancing act. You went to getting people to go and worried about their hard drive or, you know, if they're going to take proprietary information. I can't, not every employee, but a lot do have access, right?
And it is. And when you have somebody like that that you don't trust, you normally, that's not part of a layoff. That's usually part of, you know, the person's not performing or you have some concerns. Mm-hmm. You have to protect the assets of the company. And so you have to do that in some cases like that.
I think it was a lot easier years ago when you just clean out your desk.
Clean out your desk.
Well, I've noticed the management from, you know, a long time of my experience, they just walk in and say, you're fired, pack up your stuff and get out in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not quite the servant leadership way. We like to err in the side of the employee when we do things. And so if we're going to err, we're going to pay a little bit more, we're going to do a little bit more, we're going to invest a little bit more to make sure the employee feels good.
So did your corporate counsel, like, have a heart attack when you guys decided to start doing business? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We've had a few discussions on how we want to do business. And, he's, you know, every now and then he reminds me, you're in California. And I said, I understand. But, you know what, we're being honest and open with people. Mm-hmm. And with you're honest and open with people, you're honest and open with any agency that's going to come in and look at you. And so everyone gets the same story. And because it's based on the facts and the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to remember what I told the guy last year versus what I want to tell the agency from California. So
question, you in about 2 years sort of made this move in your own company. You're now going to be coming up on your fourth annual winter conference. What put the idea in your head to sort of move this along to just stepping outside of your company? Because I might say, gee whiz, you might have your competitors come into this thing. I mean, that's a really interesting thing to
do. We'd like to see that.
Okay.
We really would.
But what did you think about in terms of how did you formulate this game plan to then create this amazing conference?
We started SLI with the theory of we want to share what we know. And what we found out at the last couple of years is we are only one or two companies in the world that teach people how to implement servant leadership. There's a lot of organizations out there that teach about it, but they don't come in the organizations and teach you how to implement it and what you're going to face and how you're going to address human because you're dealing with human behavior.
And change is really hard for people.
Change is hard for people. And when you're talking about their behaviors and their beliefs, it's difficult for them to accept. And so you really have to work with people. And everybody transforms at a different rate. Mm-hmm. I got folks that transform and grab this concept real fast, and others, they're slow at doing it. So you have to manage that diversity in your organization as well. Through the culture.
There's that feedback loop, right, where you have to constantly...
I encourage my managers to 20% of the time needs to be talking to their employees, give them the feedback, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This business of you get to the end of the year, you get a review, and the employee's surprised because they're not doing a good job.
Right.
That tells me the manager didn't do their job because they're responsible for talking to the employees all the time, giving feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's on their shoulders, not the employee's shoulders.
I was in the board of a small nonprofit once, and I asked all the board members, it was a young professional's auxiliary for the wellness community, and I said, if I'm doing anything wrong, or if there's anything that I can be doing better, will you please tell me, you know, let me, and I was president and chair of the board, and I you know, that's the kind of thing I'd like to hear if I'm a board member, you know, so.
Yeah, and especially when you have someone who wants that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
you know, wow, now you've got a platform to really go make a difference.
Well, some things are sensitive. So you could, I said, look, if you want to send an anonymous note or if you want to talk to me face to face, I don't care. But, you know, anything that could help me be more effective or any ideas, you know, and that's that brainstorming stuff is great. You know, that you learn efficiencies and everything else, right?
The culture we try to instill is you can talk to anybody at any time about anything. Don't worry about titles. Don't worry about
org
structure.
You've got open doors, in other words.
Well, I don't like to use open doors because that lets a manager sit in his office and open his door and say, now it's your responsibility to come to me.
No, understood. But I mean...
Yeah, I look at a manager's calendar.
Okay.
Who's in your calendar and how much of your time are you investing in your employees?
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of time, we've got to take another break right now, though. But Justin, we'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after new sports, weather, and its other announcements. Take care. We're back with the second half of It's Your Money and Your Life, the award winning It's Your Money and Your Life. And now over to Richard to thank our wonderful sponsors.
Joe, that's the Triple Crown award winning It's Your Money and Your Life. By the way, go Aztecs. They kicked UNLV's butt today in a 3 o'clock game.
Yes, they did.
Ranked 10th in the nation, and the number 9 team lost to the number 15. So, hey, maybe we'll move up to number 9 next week in the polls.
Amazing.
Go Aztecs. Held UNLV to 20 points in the first half. There's some defense. Anyway, thank you to our amazing sponsors. UBS, Mr. Michael Coranta and Drew Freitas, thank you very much to UBS. Right across the street from UBS in downtown La Jolla on Prospect Street is Regions Bank, the best business bank here in San Diego. Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett. Yep. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here in San Diego, helping businesses improve their value by getting better leadership and management over their financial aspects. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, I assume they're gearing up for tax season. That's going to be a lot of fun, right, gentlemen? Paul Polito, CPA, and Don Epic, CPA, with Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista. Geiger Law Offices, the law offices of Brenda Geiger. I know Brenda has a really cool Valentine's Day event coming up on February 12th. It's for lovers who are having babies who need to take care of those little kids. So anyway... It's always good to do good estate planning, always good to do good asset protection. And what better time to take care of your loved ones than around Valentine's Day by getting your estate planning house in order. Law Offices of Brenda Geiger, again, a great event coming up on February 12th. Check out her website, Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, Business Valuation Services, helping business owners understand the risks that drive the value of their business and increase the value of that business by doing a better job of managing those risks. And last but certainly not least, and also our guest tonight, Servant Leadership Institute with Art Barter. ServantLeadershipInstitute.com. Again, a great event coming up, the Winter Conference on February 4th and 5th at the lovely Omni Hotel in the Gas Lamp adjacent to the lovely Petco Park where Joe and I were hanging out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, how can our amazing listeners find out about our even more amazing sponsors?
Well, if they get on their computer or their smartphone or whatever they use to get online and get over to iymoney.com, short for It's Your, iymoney.com, click on the sponsors. Actually, you just have to drag your mouse right over the sponsors.
It's easy.
Thing. Click on that. All of their personal information is there, their bios, their contact information, emails, everything you need to know. And Richard's had many successful outcomes throughout the years with men.
This is the who's who of the best in brand,
right?
And all these resources here.
These
on
are hand-picked, hand-picked collaborators. They're not out of the yellow pages.
And they understand servant leadership too.
Absolutely.
Because in many cases, we've got three or four of these people working together on the same case or situation.
Yes.
Different times during the year.
Yes.
So Art, ServantLeadershipInstitute.com, that's where the information is about signing up for the event, right?
Yes, correct. Yep.
Okay.
Go and there and got
still a little bit of room left, I saw, but not much.
Yeah, we got some room left. Yep. Just got to get in there quick because it's going to fill up and you'll be, we'll find a chair for you, but maybe in the corner somewhere.
Okay.
You know?
First year at the Omni, right?
First year at the Omni. We're excited about that.
You guys will be happy. That's a really nice venue.
Yeah. Going to use the Petco Park a little bit. We're going to do a little team building with a scavenger hunt in Petco Park and have people running around town. They're going to put together a hygiene kit for the homeless shelter, and we're going to give that to the Alpha Project that evening.
Neat. So. I was going to go to Petco to see if I could find some starting pitching. Oh, I'm sorry.
And, of course, they can register right on your website. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, website. You can register, and we've got a special going on for your listeners. We've extended the $100 off for this weekend just for you guys, so if they get in there and get signed up on Monday.
Mention
you'll get $100 off the registration fee.
Mention KFMB if they do that, right?
That's right, KFMB.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be there. I'm really excited. RJ Kelly and I, we sort of pulled together a group of about seven or eight, so we're going to be there, and I promise to behave.
Yeah, okay.
But you've got some amazing speakers coming up. So Petco Park, I know Dick Enberg. Let me just throw out some names, and you tell us.
Dick Enberg, we're going to have him come in and spend some time with Bill Walton. They have an amazing past. We're going to talk about the servant leaders that they've been exposed to over their careers.
Like John Wooden.
Servant leaders like John Wooden.
Yep.
I'll bet you Dick talks about Al McGuire because he wrote a play about
him. I will. Yeah. Yep.
I'll bet you got that in the...
we're going to do a little... I'm going to moderate the discussion between the two of them. Bill Walton... he's raring to go. He's so excited to be part of this, and Dick is too. But they're going to put on a show for us Wednesday night that I think is going to be pretty special. So you really don't want to miss that.
Oh my!
And then there'll be some folks. They've agreed to hang around afterwards to talk to people and do autographs and all that kind of neat stuff. So
I got to tell you a funny Bill Walton story. It was at a basketball raffle. And I was supposed to get some basketball signed. And so I thought, I'll get the two great centers on the UCLA championship team. Because their backup center, Sven Nader, of course, was a first-round draft pick, too, and had a great pro career. And so my buddy Sven, who works for Costco up in the Great Northwest, signs the basketball with his name. And then I've got to get the redhead to sign it. And, of course, he signs it, Bill Walton, Basketball Hall of Fame, 1993. So Sven is always second string. Sorry,
that's right,
Sven.
That's right.
How it goes, buddy.
Yeah.
Bill's
yeah.
also in the Grateful Dead Hall of Fame, my friend.
Exactly.
Oh, he's got tons of, I mean, his credentials here are unbelievable. Yeah. So Ken Blanchard's going to speak too.
My
right?
good friend Ken is going to join us again this year. He's been there every year for us. He and I are going to do a little special discussion at the end of the conference, and the CEO, Cheryl from Popeye's, going to interview us.
Cheryl Batchelor, right?
Cheryl Batchelor. She's going to be a keynote speaker. She did great last year in a workshop. People loved her. They loved what they're doing over there at Popeye's. So we invited her to come back and address the entire organization with that. We've got Michael Talenbaum from Kindred Healthcare. Mm-hmm. They're right in the throes of implementing servant leadership. He's one of five groups within that healthcare system, and his group right now is blowing the other groups away from results and performance with servant leadership. And so he's got a great story coming on. Olivia McElvor, she's out of Canada. She's an amazing lady. She teaches us how to deal with the multiple generations that are in the workforce right now. And right now we have four generations in the workplace. We're going to get to five here pretty soon.
Yep.
And there are amazing differences between my generation and the XY generation.
Yeah, my kids have never seen a piece of paper, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you think of the changes that we saw in computers and what they're used to, what they started off with, it's amazing. And she teaches us how to deal with that and gives us some insight about what the XYers want, what guys like myself that we're getting a little farther into our careers and
you're still printing your emails, Art? I'm just teasing you.
Pardon me?
I said, you're still printing your emails? I'm just teasing you, buddy.
The ones that I want to remember. Yeah, I got to print them. Yeah. So, Stephen Covey, M.R. Covey, the son of Stephen Covey, is going to come out and talk about The Speed of Trust, the book that he wrote. Mm-hmm. And he has an amazing, we're going to have a couple hours with him talking about what the impact of trust has on your organization. And Cheryl from Popeye's will tell you that trust is the basis of every relationship they have in the organization. Mm. And so he's going to come in, provide some information. We've brought Covey into Datron World. We live by their 13 behaviors in the speed of trust. So when we brought Maxwell in, we brought Blanchard in, and we brought some of the top people in the world to come in and help us learn this stuff. And we just want to pass this information on and give the same tools to people out there.
And I see you have a special rate for nonprofits and for students as well, right?
We do. We've got a program for students right now. We've got some folks that want to sponsor students. Mm-hmm. And so there's an application the students can go in and say, here's why we'd like to attend, and here's why like we want a scholarship. Nonprofits have a reduced rate because we know that their times are tough as well. If you want to bring, five or 10 people, call us direct and we'll work out a deal for you and try and get your whole team there. We just did that with the San Diego Zoo. They're going to bring a whole bunch of folks. They were struggling with money, and we said, let's talk about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. We really just want to get people there so they can learn about it. And fortunately right now, if I don't have to worry about making money. That doesn't mean everybody gets a discount, folks out there. So don't, you know. But
you want to pay it forward.
We're paying it forward right now. And we're enjoying doing that. So just get the word out about the impact that this management style has on people and performance and results.
And you've got a lot of good testimonials I've seen on your site. So obviously people are getting good results as you have, right?
Same thing. That's why we're bringing people like Kindred Healthcare that have implemented, Popeyes that have implemented it. We bring in stories of folks that have done it and are seeing results from it. So it's just not an educational event where we're just teaching it. Yeah.
Nice.
So can you name some of the companies that are going to be attending as attendees?
This year, so far, we've got Boeing has signed to come up.
I've heard of them.
Northrop Grumman
of course.
Is coming in.
Good.
The LPGA is involved.
Oh, neat.
With the tournament that's here. We know the director. He's going to be there this year. San Diego Zoo, Life Technologies, Kindred Healthcare. We're going to have representatives from John Maxwell Company. John won't be with us this year. He's going to be playing golf up north. Ken Blanchard will be here. I've got Gonzaga, Cal State San Marcos, San Diego, Idaho, and Liverpool universities all signed up to come in.
I'm not sure we should let Gonzaga come in, Art. Because
yeah, you don't want to, huh?
They always beat my alma mater.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll try and address that next year for you. Okay.
Seat them in the back, Art.
All right. Maybe we'll sit you right next to them. How's that? We'll get that table right next to them. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all about trust.
I don't know about those guys.
Yeah, so.
And I trust that they're always going to kick our butts on the basketball court, that's for sure.
Yeah. We normally have about 40, 50% of the folks that come every year are new. That's a lot of fun. And then we, after the conference, we'll start working with companies and set up, we call them SL12 groups, where people can just get together and talk about the challenges and what they're doing, or they want more, a little bit more education or teaching or implementation. We'll put workshops together or go to their sites and help them train and work through it and set up metrics for tracking results, et cetera. So
there you go.
We'll help people in any way we can.
So turning the traditional management models on their head and getting an entirely new, extraordinary result. That's
absolutely. And you have to have results. You can put in a whole lot of new systems, but if you don't get results, the system's not going to be there.
And you've got to have benchmarks. You've got to measure the progress you're making.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Right. Yep.
Well, let's get more into this. We'll take a break right now, but get over to servantleadershipinstitute.com to sign up for this, and we'll be right back with It's Your Money, Your Life right after this. All right, we're in the home stretch of It's Your Money and Your Life with our guest CEO, Art Barter, from the Servant Leadership Institute. Myself, Joe Vecchio, Richard Musio, CPA, co-host. And folks, Restaurant Row is coming up January 19th to 24th. Get out there and support your favorite local restaurant or restaurants. Right, Richard?
I will. The problem is it's only like a week long, and there's like 97 tremendous restaurants just in this neighborhood. But I will anyway. Hey, Art, you were mentioning that you've got some universities attending. I know in the business curriculum, historically, they haven't really taught leadership. They may have courses like ethics or things that sort of have a leadership twist. Is this topic starting to find its way into curriculum of business programs at university?
It is. It's starting to creep in, mostly at the MBA level, I would say, or a little bit higher level. We're starting to work with some universities. San Marcos University is the one, you know, closest to us, so we work with them. We've done some programs over there, and we're in the process of getting our training reviewed by them to allow us to get offer credits.
Oh, neat.
And so our hope is that once we get that and can offer that to conference attendees, that after that we work with the head of the business school over there and get them to bring that into their curriculum and offer credits for it. And I think what they're trying to do is create a servant leadership module that will offer maybe one or two credits and then offer that to all the different schools within the university.
Sure.
Add some of their specific information teachings to it and end up with a three-unit class.
Oh, that'd be neat.
And so we're starting to work and have discussions with people, and it's pretty encouraging. They're very open. I just met the president of San Marcos University last month and had some very good conversations with her. But they're really open for it right now. It really is an opportunity for us to get this in and get it taught. And we're even trying to move it down even further into the high schools and junior highs. We're trying to work with the high schools to get some of that curriculum in the high schools as well. Yep.
I think it's great. By the way, speaking of basketball, San Marcos State's men's basketball team is 19-1, and they're ranked number 4 in the NAIA division. So San Diego State's not the only great college basketball team we have in this town. And if you ever want to see a great team play, like over at the gym at MiraCosta where they play, maybe only 600 or 700 people go, it's really fun to do.
That's one of the things we're talking with them about is how do we get a gymnasium? Because I love basketball. They know I love basketball, and so we're seeing if there's some way we can get things going.
Let me know if you need any help with that, because I love college hoops as well. And it's really cool that San Marcos State has got a great program. So, Art, how many people did the U.S. government sign up for leadership training?
I wish more than they do.
Hey, how about you take this to Congress? One of these years.
Well, does the public believe that congressional leaders, et cetera, are really falling down in the area of leadership?
There's surveys out there that show that the confidence that the U.S. citizens have in their government representatives, is down in the 10-12% range.
Wow.
Now, that's 10-12% confidence level, folks. Yeah. All right? Now, that was before the elections.
That's an 88% non-confidence.
Non-confidence.
Level.
Yeah. And nothing changed after the elections. And I tell people now, if you can't change it through your vote, you can't change it here. And we talk with folks all the time back in Washington. You got to remember who you serve. You were elected to serve the folks. You weren't elected to become someone who works for the government for 50 years. And if you can't serve the people, then we need to find somebody who will. That talk doesn't, get received very well.
Mm-hmm. It's true, though.
We had David Stockman on a couple of weeks ago, and he suggested in his book one idea was term limits for the president obviously has term limits, but 6 years for everybody. President,
everybody.
Senator,
yep.
Congressman, everybody. 6 years, that's it. Yep. No re-election, and you don't have that way you don't have to spend time raising money for your next election because there won't be one. But maybe that's a thought,
Well, I've got a good relationship with Darrell Issa,
sure.
And he's one of the guys that we stand up and applaud back there because he's back there fighting, making sure that the money we give the government is spent appropriately. And he gets a bad rap sometimes, but I applaud him for everything he's doing back there because he's one of the guys that says, you know what, I was elected here to serve people, make sure their money gets spent correctly. And so I'm going to go after the guys who don't do it, and we're going to make sure it happens. And so I respect him very highly. I have a few other people that I love. Hunter here in San Diego is also the young Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. I like his ideas. And outside of that, we don't get involved with politics. We just look for people who want to serve the people serve the folks that elected them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find folks like that, we like to help them.
I was watching the news the other night, the debacle about Bridgegate and Chris Christie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pointing out to whoever I was with, one of my daughters, I think. And I said, I said, the issue there is the culture that's within that office.
Yeah.
There's leadership, but it's not the right kind of leadership.
It's,
it's you bow down and do what I say. Otherwise, bad things are really going to happen to you.
Guys that don't know what their staffs are doing, I go, then what are you doing in leadership? You're not spending time with your folks.
Yeah, because somebody said, well, maybe he didn't know what his staff was doing. Then I said, so I made the point. I said, well, I was talking to the TV literally. I said, well, therefore he's incompetent. How could you not know what your people are doing?
Right. Exactly.
So do you want somebody who's unethical, or do you want somebody who's incompetent? I don't want either.
Right.
And there's no more moderates or swing votes anymore. It's pretty much drawn down by party lines. So,
it's polarized.
I kind of like the days where you'd have some people who would cross over on particular issues. There's some compromise and bartering there to use it.
But can you imagine what Washington would be like, or any government organization would be like, if nobody cared who got the credit?
Right.
Exactly.
Nobody cared.
Exactly.
It's just get things done. And people need to go back and say, we don't care who gets the credit. This is right. This is what we're going to do. We've got some things that were passed a couple years ago that are going to debacles.
Sure, we got music. February 4th and 5th at the Omni Hotel, servantleadershipinstitute.com. I'm going to be there. Everybody, please come on out.
Yep, sign up for that. And thank you, Art Barter, for being our guest
thank
tonight.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to seeing you down there in San Diego.
Congrats on that event, because I know it's going to be great with Bill Walton, Dick Enberg, and all those other VIPs, Tim Blanchard. Hey, thank you to Justin Hart, our sound engineer, who always makes us sound terrific. Thank you to Craig Blanker, our con executive.
Craig, have fun. of the Bay Area. Thanks for lunch yesterday, buddy.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. And to Dave Sniff, our programming genius, thank you. I happen to think tomorrow it's going to be a good day for the Patriots and Seattle, but I could be wrong. Anyway, enjoy the football. Enjoy the weekend, folks. Get out there. Enjoy the great weather. Save some water. We'll see you next time. Good night.